It's AFQ football. I'm really hungover. Joining me and hopefully doing most of the talking, me being John Givens, is Dan Morgan, Chris Walsh, Andy Heaton and Mo Stewart. We're going to go through your questions. It is the day after Liverpool came second in the Premier League, and we've just been slagging off the Gallagher brothers, and it's been quite fun. So, you know, there might be more of that, but who knows. But yeah, your questions have come in. There's lots on the season, lots on next season. But I'll start with Chris. What do you think of the new kit?
I love it. Nice, I really, really like it. I'm a big fan of the pinstripes. I also like the training gear as well. I just think New Balance have been nailing it. Like, not just Liverpool kits, but all around. But yeah, I'm a big, big fan. I think they've been getting progressively better as well. I'm pretty sad that they might sort of wave goodbye to New Balance next season. Well, season after.
Mo?
I do like it. I'm not as obsessed with the kit as some other people, simply because I always know that every time I buy one, it just itches and I can never wear it more than once without actually stinking the place out. But that's a whole other story. But I do really like it. There are some kits that, you know, they tend to kind of transcend just wearing them. Like, I think of the orange one of a couple of years ago. That seemed to kind of like almost inspire certain things in people watching it and the players playing it. So if it does that, then it'll be my favourite kit ever and I'll be hanging it on my wall.
Dear though, isn't it, Andy? Seems to have crept up again.
Yeah, you're telling me, mate, yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't have kids, so I don't have this issue.
Yeah, are we getting the kids for holiday again, Daddy? What's that website again in China? I don't know. Yes, they aren't cheap, friggin' hell. But no, I do like them, and I think Chris is right. I think the last three, I could say, you could argue, have been, I wouldn't say classics, but very, very good, especially when you consider what they were born out of, the whole Warrior thing, yeah, when they were essentially shit, yeah, if we're being honest. And it'd be a shame to see them go. I mean, look, I'm from the school of whoever gives us the most money. You know, I'm not bothered. Gans Gear can make our kit, as I said before. I'm not. But be curious what happens to New Balance Football as a brand, because it's kind of anchored. And I agree with you, they have made good kits for other teams, but the whole brand was kind of anchored around having Liverpool. I don't think any of the other deals they have are anywhere near the size or scale, and it'd be interesting to see whether they stick around given what happens to Warrior. But I'm excited to see the away and the second away at Belters as well. Paz,
I'd forgotten about Warrior.
Yeah,
what a weird turning time that was.
Do you remember the Suarez storage kit, or the 13-14 kit? The one which just looked like my nan's curtains.
Asteroids one as well, wasn't it? Like some weird video game, like pixelated mashup thing.
Like, yeah. Tetris.
Yeah. 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 Time. We come not to play. Dan, do you like it?
Big fan, you know. I'm big on a shade of red, John, aren't I?
Yeah, as you well are. Know. Yeah, he loves a shade.
Yeah, it's a good shade.
Like senior with fonts.
Yeah, I'm not big on the last two kits, I've got to be honest. Not big on a collar. And I think they've been a little bit... I'm of the Mike Nevin, it looks a bit burgundy, school of thought, of the last two. So I don't think they've been a great shade of red, but this is a winner for me. So it's a shame, like Andy says, if it's to be the last one, because I think they're getting in a bit of a rhythm of Liverpool kits. It's a belter.
It's the have you seen it like in the flesh, because it's darker actually on them, what it looks like in,
yeah,
a couple of the photos.
Is. I'm a big fan of a blood red hand, I'll be honest. Mix it with a bit of gold.
Don't mention blood red around here.
Infiltration.
Good, yeah, enjoyed that. I like this one as well from Paul Dunsford. Worst game of footy you've seen or played in? Does anyone want to think of a game? I've got a terrible habit. Well, I say terrible habits. I like to go and watch footy when I'm abroad. So I've dragged Laura to some awful games of football. But she doesn't mind going, to be fair, because I think she doesn't like watching footy on the telly, but she'll like going and stuff like that. But
You had the belter this year, though, didn't you?
Did. San Sebastian, yeah, in San Sebastian, Real Sociedad against Valencia. Valencia won 1-0. Watched it with Abby Alonso's mate. That was fun. And he was absolutely gorgeous, so Laura was happy as well. Basically, I was just chatting to him on footy and my bear was just looking at him and we were both with him. He played, he used to play for Wrexham, and he played for Wrexham the year Liverpool won the Champions League. And he scored in the FA Trophy final, and it was funny talking to him because he's basically Wrexham's only like an hour, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So he used to come up for all the Champions League games.
So he basically signed for Wrexham off the back of being Alonso's mate, and Alonso was in Liverpool, needed the buddy. Well, apparently
he buried them for Wrexham. Oh, yeah. He scored the win in an FA Trophy final, so he had his little little great moments as well. But no, he's a nice fella. So that one was a good one. But no, we went to Levante, who were like Valencia's second team, and that was 0-0. That was dreadful. It wasn't good at all. Anyone?
Oh God! There's professional and non-professional. I mean, as Christian was, I used to do Wardles Division 1, Division 2, and let me count the ways. Fucking hell!
I'm gonna write 400 words about this.
Jesus Christ! Honest to God. So like you, Chesterfield on a like on the proverbial cold wet. But on my own volition, I'm a big fan of Marine, but I've seen some poor games there, to be quite honest, and you're freezing cold. And then, you know, I got taken to Goodison Park as a guest for a non-derby game, and, you know, Evan, shite, so them as well.
I went to Everton Luton when I was a kid. It was one of them where you did this... do the soccer school thing, and then Everton turned up and give you, like, a free to hit. Basically, if an adult paid a kid, they're getting free, I think the deal was. So I went over to my dad and said, oh, can we go to this game? And I think my dad was a bit worried that I'd want to go to Everton, but after experiencing Everton 0, Luton 0, I think there wasn't much chance of
it didn't touch you then, no?
No.
Everton didn't touch you?
No. I was born not manufactured or something, whatever. It was in my heart, in my soul. yeah, it was crap.
Everton's up there with mine, professionally anyway. There was... a 0-0 with Crystal Palace a couple of seasons ago. It was sort of the death throes of Martinez's era. They had like a couple of cup semi-finals coming up, I think, against United. And it was just Tersey that was 0-0. It was a Wednesday night, and it was just the worst game of football I've ever seen. 24 hours later, Liverpool beat Borussia Dortmund 4-3. So that wasn't bad. It also meant that I could go the game, which was great.
Yang and all that.
Pardon?
Yin and Yang and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Although, you know, I think I probably is trying to get five things that I learned from that game. the one thing that I did learn is just don't go and watch Palace versus Everton on a Wednesday night. I remember Liverpool-wise, do you remember that 0-0 in the season after we nearly won it in 2013-14? The 0-0 West Brom. And Balotelli started up front and absolutely not unhappy. Like, it was absolutely woeful. Like, it was a zero, like, zero anything happened.
In fact, so about really get like awful games of football, not just because Liverpool lost. There was a game when Leicester at Anfield, and Ian Marshall scored.
Yeah,
and then nothing happened all game, and I think he scored at the death.
That was the night. Yeah, that was the night. The United beat Juventus.
Yeah.
I think weather has a big factor in this with me, because if it's bad weather, then it just seems to be like you may as well be watching or being involved in something that's like 180 minutes. So big shout to West Brom at home last season on that front.
Oh yeah,
that was just after my short-lived sabbatical in India as well, so I was feeling fucking great. I was fucking sat there watching Darren Fletcher do doggies. I'm like, I should be somewhere halfway around the world here. But yeah, that one was one that sticks in the craw. I once played in a game on Windy Harbour in Kirby, which lives up to its name.
And yet they built an academy on it,
to say the least. Yeah. And the game was that bad, and the weather was that bad. I think I've told this story before. And one of our lads got booked for bringing the game to dispute because he just got off during the game. went and bought a burger from the stand, and just stood there having a burger. The game was that bad.
There was a game. I can't lie and say this actually happened in the game I was playing, but I've watched games in Windy Harbour where the lads took a goal kick and the balls ended up behind the goal.
Yeah.
It's been that bad. Honestly, like, I mean, you've seen them growing up. I mean, the amount of games you used to get called off, but no one really wants to call a game off because you're there then. And it was horrific. But the amount of games that would be like 4-0 at half time and end up 8-40 to the side because you've got the win behind you, absolutely crackers.
No, I'm not counting games I've played in because they were, to be honest, the worst games I ever experienced. Like, there was a couple of 14, 15 nils, including...
Are you the common denominator, AMO?
Maybe. I know that, to be honest, I was also responsible for two of the best moments that club ever saw, so I'm not having that. But no, it was. I did score a spectacular own goal, but yeah, I'm not going to count those.
Talk us through it.
No. It was a slice from the edge of the area, went in top bins, it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Slice one in my own goal, yeah, from a corner. It's not great, is it?
I mean, we were already double digits down by that point, but you know, it's a moot point. The speaking before of the post-Suarez season, the home defeat to Aston Villa, which is actually the first time I ever saw us lose, Liverpool lose a game live. That was awful because it was a goal from them. I think Agbonlahor bundled it in after like 5 minutes, and then, like you say, nothing happened. And all of that hope and optimism, oh, well, we can turn this around. And then it was just like, oh, well, surely my luck will bring us through. And just absolutely nothing all the way through the game. But that's still not even the worst one. The worst one is England against Moldova under-21s at the Valley. In I think it was 2000. Like, my best mate from home is a big Charlton fan, and his cousin worked for the board, so we used to get any time that they were doing an event that wasn't a Charlton game, he'd just give us free tickets. So like me, him and two other mates went to this game. Scott Parker was playing, so we were kind of like excited from a Charlton angle, or he was anyway, and we just got really, really drunk and ended up having a massive argument. Me and my best friend had a massive argument in the stands. He left like half an hour to go. He left. He was my ride home. So I was sitting there.
I wasn't expecting this to be the so eventful.
Oh my God.
I thought it was just going to be crap.
Well, the game itself was terrible. And that's why we were drinking. But also we were too young to actually be able to handle alcohol properly. And it just escalated. And I think I actually threw a punch at him, which is not one of my greatest moments. But yeah,
rolled over on the 21s.
I know. And the game, like I say, the game
was happening in the stands.
The game ended 0-0. I mean, there was a lot of angst and tension around. But yeah, it's definitely the worst game of football I've ever experienced or seen.
Fair play. What are we going to do next? I didn't have an idea in my head. Someone's asked about Wolves. They were weird, weren't they? The fans, yesterday.
I weren't surprised. They were giving it all the poverty stuff, weren't they, in December? They were giving it all the sign-on stuff, and I thought then. But they were like, they were consistent with it. So I thought they'd be a little bit like that. I don't know why. I think a lot of it's around this whole narrative of Liverpool, not wanting Liverpool to do it for whatever reason. Probably because, you know, we're having a good time and no one else is really. But I just think it's weird when you've got such a good side that they are, and for what they've achieved this season, that if you've got the privilege to be at Anfield on the last day, you don't make it all about your own team when your team's actually quite good. Which is, like I say, is a bit weird. But, you know, fair play to them. They wanted to be relevant on the last day of the season, and unfortunately they weren't, because they still got rolled 2-0.
This is the fan base who wear Luchador masks, isn't it? So what can you expect? Newcastle were like that in 2014 as well, as Dan says. I think it's about just playing their part in the narrative, you know, and sort of being there when Liverpool don't win the league. And it is what it is. It's just, they are weird. But then I think a lot of clubs are weird. A lot of supporters of other clubs are weird. But then we're probably weird as well.
In our own lovely way.
No, I definitely think it was about inserting himself into the narrative, because, I mean, it's honest, we've been doing it ourselves really over the last few games with the, you know, the pleas to Sean Dyche and then Jamie Vardy and then even Glenn Murray and all that stuff. And so we've been kind of involving the other team, but then obviously they weren't getting anything and we are actually playing them. So it's almost like they were like, oh, hang on a minute, maybe we can be relevant in this title race. But no, it was just unnecessary, really, really unnecessary.
Fuck him. Honestly, it was like, I don't know, I get all what you're all saying. It could have been any side. Someone said to me, oh, had they been at Man City, they would have done the same thing. But I don't care. I don't care. I just think to be that fucking venal and boring and desperate for attention, you know, just go, lads, just go fuck yourselves. No one fucking cares. In a couple of years' time, you'll be back in the Championship and no one will give a fuck.
Not being funny, look at Barcelona the other night.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, they were, to a man, near enough, they were sound. You know,
exactly.
They stayed. I was a bit late getting out the grounds, and I went past the cop, and he was one of their lads with a Coutinho shirt on, and a couple of fans outside the booze were giving him shit, and I just spoke to him, and I was like, you know, just had a really honest, like, really grounded conversation with him after it, and I was like, you know, where'd you go from here and stuff, and he was completely sound. And it was just, you know, there was no, I didn't feel at any point with Barcelona there was any needle, there was any angst. It was just, you know, two elite sides operating at that level. But
it just felt dead small town dickhead. Yeah, whereas Barcelona was like, I mean, and even coming up the ground was weird, because I got out bang on full time because I had to run to Tier and try and get set up. But I was waiting for people to come into the building. And they're walking past Tier, they've been rolled 2-0. They're walking past Tier and, like, they're giving it the big one. And the thing about it, they're giving it the big one, no one can do anything about it. And if someone does something about it, I just don't understand the motivation or what outcome are you hoping for from this situation? They go, why are you doing it? Mm. Fucking behave, fucking Steve Ball knobheads.
There you go.
Just hope you enjoy Wembley next week.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, that as well.
Yeah. How did that work out?
Fucking dingle cunts.
Anyway, enough of that. I've held off as long as I can. Loads of people want to ask about transfers because, you know, the squad's not good enough. You just want new lads, all of you. So you just want new lads. So there's a bit of a...
I didn't know Rob Gutman was on Facebook.
There's a bit of a catch-all from Sean Edelton. What positions do Liverpool need to sign players in the summer? Mo.
Well, I hope they don't sign me, for starters.
I mean, it wasn't a great talk we went through before, like, games you played in, like...
Oh, no, I've got better since then. Yeah, probably not good. I think the attack is probably where most people expect to see most of the money go, at least, anyway. I know attackers tend to be more expensive, but it's that age-old question of you need to find someone who's probably not going to start every week but needs to believe he will or can start every week and is good enough to if someone gets injured. And it's such a tricky circle to square, if you want to call it that way, that I think that's probably what most of our attention is going to go on. I like the idea also of shoring up defence, but that a lot of that is dependent on who does leave. I think there's a couple of people who valuation dependent might leave, and if so would need replacing, but I'm intrigued to see exactly how Klopp goes about it, whether or not he feels like it's just one or two really good ones, or he feels like he's happier than he has been in the past to have a larger squad.
Go on,
no, go on, mate. No, go on.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, from the attacking point of view, sort of first of all, obviously, there's Rian Brewster who's back now, and Divock Origi's had a little flurry at the end as well. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what Klopp wants to put in front of them, if you like, between now and sort of next season, because obviously everyone you buy is an opportunity that someone like Brewster can't have. So how do you think they'll go play it, Andy?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? And people still get the knickers and the twist over it, but I mean, the word is that Brewster was told he was going to get game time this year, pre-injury, obviously. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a bit of wastage there. Sturridge is finally going to leave. I think Origi's done enough. But then the worry with that is, I mean, Brewster could tear it up, but then I always kind of worry when we're missing Firmino. You know, is there a midfielder slash, because when we signed Firmino, it wasn't a forward, was he? Is there a player there who can do both, if you will, who you could sign for maybe a bit of support in the midfield, but could also play that role that Firmino does play in? Just with that intelligence, and the mad thing is, I said it a couple of weeks ago, and it's not going to work out for him, but Sturridge has got that eye for a pass when he's a little bit deeper, but he just hasn't got the legs or the consistency or the intensity to carry it. It wouldn't surprise me to see if they bring in more cover at the back. I think there's been a couple of times where we have, notwithstanding the client thing, we have been a bit thin in full-back position. I think I'm happy with the centre-halves. I think Matip's kind of cemented himself there. Lovren's not done much wrong. I think they'll certainly sign a goalkeeper. And what kind of goalkeeper they go for is really interesting. Do they go for, like a Manninger type option, just someone who's covered, who can experience, or, you know, I was reading, and I mentioned it again, I'm going to bang the drum every week. Pepe Reina, you know, he's looking to go into coaching. Can you coax him back? He's still got a house here. Plays a similar style, not too dissimilar style, as well as some of his distribution. So maybe, you know.
Do you mean I'll leave then?
I think so. And I think he deserves to leave with the best wishes, which is something I maybe wouldn't have envisaged last year. I think he's been absolutely fantastic this year. No moaning, understood it. And it shows, I think it's a massive demonstration on just how together the squad really are, because we're all used to sound bites. Everyone says, oh, squad's together, blah, blah, blah. But to carry out the role he has done with dignity has been fantastic. We're just talking about transfers, and I know it shouldn't surprise me because he's probably the best left-back in England. Was reading... But Andy Robertson tentatively linked with Barcelona.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Which was like, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it just seems a little bit mad, do you know what I mean?
What do you think he'll do, Chris?
I think there'll probably be a bit of reinforcements at the back. I think he might go for like a maybe like a left side, the centre back, but he can also play left back because obviously Moreno's going. Someone like, I don't know, like Lloyd Kelly from Bristol City, throw a name out there for you. You know,
do you like Adam Lewis though, don't
they? They do, yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of brought through as well, but maybe just somebody who can almost do what Gomez does on the other side. Yeah. Because you kind of think if Van Dijk, Liverpool are quite fortunate really that he hasn't missed much game time at all, Van Dijk, but all of the rest of them, I mean, Lovren, I suppose, is a left side of centre back as well, but Matip and Gomez are very much right side of centre backs, and you just want that extra little bit of cover. So, yeah, somebody who can probably play full back and centre back. And, you know, I think Liverpool, it's not actually a problem at the moment, but like Salah, Mane, and Firmino are all very similar age, 26, 27. They've sort of got to crack that sweet spot where basically they need to bring somebody in who is happy to sort of come through and sit on the bench for the next couple of years. For when they eventually drop off, well, not necessarily drop off, but don't bring the same game when they're 29, 30. Because if Liverpool don't plan, and I've got no reason to believe they won't plan properly, but if they don't plan properly, they could get to a couple of years and go, shit, like, every, you know, they're all 30 years of age and we've got nothing in reserve apart from Ryan Brewster.
So I was thinking about that the other day, but then you look at Aguero. He's in his 30s, yeah. You know, it's and the fitness and conditioning these days, I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I know what you mean, but yeah, yeah, it's definitely, it's a bit of a, your dad shout saying, oh, they're all just going to get to 30, wrong side of 30, and all the legs will drop off. But, you know, I suppose you've just got to sort of, it is that sweet spot of finding a player, I suppose that you're looking at maybe like 21, 22, 23 year olds who can sort of be there long term, even longer than Salah, Mané and Firmino.
It's a really hard thing to do though. Like when you're trying to predict when a guy you've got is going to start to diminish. I mean, Barcelona are literally in that position right now. I think of City as well. When they signed Jesus, they were expected to be able to do exactly that. And you could argue that his trajectory has probably not gone where they hoped it would. And they're lucky that Aguero is still as sharp as he ever was. But he's definitely making more noises about going back home. So that window is certainly starting to close, and you wonder, is Jesus going to be ready in time? So it's what we have to do, but it's dead hard.
I think what's dead interesting is probably gone a little bit overlooked is that the first half of this season we basically change our shape, and if you listen to what gets mooted, it's a lot of it's down to personnel, and I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens again next season at some point. It might not happen at the start, it might happen at the back end. And it wouldn't surprise me if there are times next season, or even for a prolonged period, we look a little bit more like a diamond with Salah and Mane up top. So I'm with you, Andy, in that I think they'll be looking, or I think they have been looking this season, to do the best they can in cloning Firmino. Someone who can maybe play in the middle of a front three or drop back the tip of a diamond. Who that player is, I don't know. If you're asking me who my first priority would be if I had the choice to sign anyone this season, I'd be saying go out and get Aaron Wan-Bissaka and pay anything for him. Because I think if you get him, then basically you've got two positions, be it your right centre back and your right back, boxed for the next 5 to 10 years. And I basically think that he is someone who can play in any one of three positions, but I see him as either a centre back or a right back, the same as Gomez.
So I'd be bang on board with that. I think he's had a great season, but they've got the, and I know he's only 16 or maybe 17, but they've got, you talk about future production, you've got Hover, the Dutch kid, who can play. And I'm not saying he's anywhere near Wan-Bissaka's level, by the way. But no. Then you look at, you know, the possible trajectory, Trent maybe moving into midfield, which has been mentioned again this week, funny enough. And I think, and it might be outdated now, but I think there was an attitude of, they wouldn't necessarily sign a player if he thought it was going to block a pathway for someone else. And look, this isn't my knowledge, this isn't some great football knowledge that I've got, it's just from people who work very, very closely with the academy. And every single person you speak to about Hover, they're saying it gold dust. So, I don't know. But he can also play left back, so who knows?
Wait and see. He can play midfield. Watched him kind of strutting around. That was Wolves as well, wasn't it? Yeah, we shall see on that one. Does anyone think anyone big will leave? Someone suggested Lovren here. Obviously, Sturridge will go. What's the latest on Milner? Chris?
He's got a year left.
Has he?
Yeah.
So this thing that he's out of contract in the summer is not true?
No, that's like a transfer marked error, I think. Right. Because I made that error at one point as well, but no, he's out of contract in 2020. If it just feels to me that they'll give him one more season, they probably won't extend this contract, I imagine, and he'll go off to Leeds for a farewell season. I mean, everyone's saying it, aren't they? Yeah, but I suppose it depends if they come up or not.
So, I mean, anyone else think anyone might go?
I think Lallana might go, and I think there's I still think there's a possibility he might just do Shaqiri if the circumstance is right. I think he's burnt his head out, and I think he does burn his head out. I don't think there's a problem with his attitude or anything like that. I'm not in any way, shape or form suggesting that. I just think tactically he does his head in, and I think it shows that. He comes on his first sub at Old Trafford and we don't see him for the best part of 2 months after because he's that off it. It might be a little bit unfair there, but that's just my opinion. I think in terms of people leaving, I think it's vital we retain some of the staff we've got behind the scenes because I think we have up there with the best in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So people like the fitness coach, Kronmeyer, is it?
Yeah.
Mona Nemme, the nutritionist. People like that, we need to work hard. And then the obvious ones as well, Pep Linders, Kravics. We need to make sure that the team behind the team stay together for me.
I'd say you can see leaving a couple of the younger lads around the periphery, Woodburn, Wilson, etc. I mean, you say young Wilson's in his 20s now, and I know he's had a fantastic season, and he's probably tripled his value. But I just think at that age, if you're not in the first team, you're probably not going to make it. And maybe a few we thought, you know, even further away from the periphery, albeit a bit younger, like Curtis Jones, stuff like that. People who've made the fringes of the squad, who've got a profile who they could potentially sell for the sake of their own careers. But yeah, anyway, there you go. Digress a little bit.
No, it's all fine. Okay, there's a few people asking about points totals for next season, sort of aims. Dan, I mean, it's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, isn't it? But, you know, someone here said, would you take 85? Someone else has said, you know, would you take what we got this season again? Someone else has put, well, is he going to take 98 or more to win the league next year? Or will it come down slightly? I mean, I suppose we've got to assume that City aren't going to go anywhere.
No, and that's what will drive us, and it's what will drive them. I think, for me, I kind of have to differentiate between the aim and the aspiration. You know, I think the aim will be 114. I think the aspiration realistically will be you break 90, you get through your group in the Champions League, and let's maybe look at getting to a domestic cup final, probably the FA Cup if the draw falls right for us. But I think breaking 90 gets you in the conversation of who's winning what when it's getting won. And look, you might not need 97 to win it next year. City didn't need 100, they needed 98. So you've got to put yourself in the conversation. We've been brilliant at that this season. And the thing that goes for us is this side learns by doing better than any side I've ever seen. And the manager, I think what's really important about yesterday and getting to 97 is he gets to sit them down and say, look, boys, you've played out a championship winning season there, game one to game 38, you've done everything bar lifter. Take that into next year and you might just get your hands on it at the end.
Yeah, 100% agree. Not, but it's fair to be honest.
Yeah, I think as well, Andy, what sort of... the positive I take is how they responded from Kiev, and I think, you know, Kiev could have been, you know, a real hammer blow for this squad, whereas instead they used it to inspire them into this season. And, you know, obviously we've got the European Cup and we're all hoping we win that, but kind of whatever happens, I'm not worried about this team, you know, responding negatively to a setback. I think it just spares them on.
No, there's too many leaders in there, and I think the proof of the pudding is what happened with Barcelona earlier in the week as well. It's so easy to buy into the narrative that we're not going to win the league and we've been tanked 3-0 away from home and let's feel sorry for ourselves. I mean, you've only got to look at the gap between second and third place, and I don't think any of us really appreciate just how big it is. I mean, someone said, I think I read somewhere today that if Liverpool dropped 23 points, if you took 23 points off Liverpool, they still finish second. If you took 23 points off Everton, they get relegated. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are, you know... And you look at the characters, without going into it, we've talked massively about Virgil van Dijk and Alisson and Milner, blah, blah, blah. But you're right in the way they react. And they can look back and go, look, we've been to two consecutive Champions League finals now. You know, and you can't, that isn't a fluke. You have these flash in the pans. And I think there's a latent fear that sits with me especially, so I won't speak for anyone else, but I've been there when it's fell apart under Rafa. And even when the title challenge almost felt like it was despite, not because of what was going on in the background. And then with Rodgers, it felt like a moment. And it would have been the most romantic thing in the world. But because it was a moment when it didn't happen, it just dissipated. I mean, obviously Suarez leaving didn't help, and there was always that nagging thing with Steven, that autumn of his career, and it, whereas this now you can look to it. And also I think as well, what's massive this summer is I think there's very little, touch wood, very little risk of us losing any of our big players. You know, I read something, Garth Crooks today on his team of the season, which was a bit mad, saying if we don't win the Champions League, well, Van Dijk's going to leave to go play for a big club, which was a bit weird. Like, what, yeah. Yeah. Like, what other clubs are they? The one that we just knocked out the Champions League? Or, no, hopefully, you never want a 10th fate, but it feels like this is a generational Liverpool side as opposed to one just built for one season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I think, from my personal perspective, it's easy to get caught up in the points total because when you look at it, it does represent the fact that we were so dominant over everybody else except one team. I prefer to look at it another way. I suspect Klopp might be looking at it that way as well. If you take the other 18 teams of the league, we got more points than Manchester City. If he's saying something to say, what will we need to do next season to make sure this doesn't happen again? It's beat Manchester City, home and away in the Premier League. That is the thing that they should be focused on, because you're right, they're now proven two consecutive seasons that they can play at a high level for a long time. So that almost becomes like a second nature. The less you have to focus on that, the better. I think if you're going to have something that he's going to be giving them, it's going to be in those two games we need to dominate.
Okay, but what should we go on to now? We'll talk about the European Cup final. He's got a bit of a selection dilemma, Chris, in terms of a few people have asked here about the midfield. We'll start with that. But I think some good players are going to miss, not going to get on the bench.
Although, isn't the final, don't you basically name as big of a bench as you want?
Oh, do you? Like the World Cup?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'm into that. I might get a game. Well,
I think I'm on Spurs' bench. They haven't got many left, have they? Yeah, I think that's how it is. Well, okay. I mean, but ultimately, you reckon he's probably just going to have, in his mind, there's seven, isn't he, on the bench. So, yeah, defo. In terms of the midfield, Fabinho's got to be there, hasn't he? I think Henderson's got to be there. And then it's probably Wijnaldum. It feels really harsh on Milner. Probably, you know, you definitely have a problem if Naby Keita was fit, because that's really a conversation that you'd have to have. But I think it's probably the midfield that started yesterday. He just seems to function quite well, and now obviously he's unleashed Jordan Henderson as this incredible Zinedine Zidane impersonator. I think that's got to be the midfield. I think it suits the way they play the best.
I quite like Milner on 70 as well, Dan, so that's sort of my thinking on it. It is harsh on him, and I'm sure he'd want to play, but if I was Liverpool manager, I'd be saying to James Milner, look, this is a potentially 120-minute game here. I want you. You know, if it's 94 minutes and we're winning 2-1, you want James Milner on the pitch.
Completely agree. I think he'll be his first sub, 65-70. I think he'll have him in mind for that, regardless of what's going on. Unless it goes completely pear-shaped and you might want him at half-time. You don't know. But just in terms of Spurs' physicality as well, I think you look at Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum, it just looks a little bit more robust. And it's not to say Milner can't get around or put himself about. Of course he can, but that experience coming off the bench is vital, because I think I haven't got the results in front of me, but I've got a thing in my head that says in the last couple of months of the season, I've felt like Spurs have gone behind a lot in games and gone behind early. And I think if there's a repeat of that semi-final where we end up two up in half an hour, I don't think they come back from that. I know I'm touching wood here, but I don't think what happens in Ajax in Amsterdam plays out in a European Cup final against Liverpool. So I think the plan will be for us to start quick, to start fast, and to try and run on the momentum of getting an early goal. Not better than bringing James Milner on when you've got a 2-0 lead in that situation for me. So that's how I see it going.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think in the scenario, if we're thinking about just a straight swap between Genie and Milner, if you're ahead in the game, Milner's the guy you want to come off the bench. If you're behind in the game, Genie's the one you want to come off the bench. And in plan A, we're going to be ahead, so I expect it to be Milner on the bench. Obviously, he can create chances when he comes on, so if we do need a goal, he can do that too. But yeah, I'm like you. I just think the other three, Fabinho, Henderson and Wijnaldum, are in the right form and they have the right kind of game to try and suffocate Tottenham. Because I think their fullbacks haven't been in great form in terms of attacking. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of their recent games. Kieran Trippier can't hit a barn.
Can't even run, can he?
No, he's ground to a halt. And Danny Rose is good, but personally, I think Ben Davies is better, but it doesn't seem to get a game for them. So I'm happy with that. So that means that their drive is going to all come from midfield, mainly through Sissoko at the moment. So I think if we can have the energy to close him off, I think it's going to make our game so much easier.
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. I think it's basically defined by the opposition. You know, the Spurs have got the energy there, especially Sissoko. I just think Ronaldo, if you're going to pick one of our midfielders to do a number on one of their midfielders, it's Gini Ronaldo, isn't it? So, yeah, that.
I had a massive wobble in the car before, you know, about the final. Like near slapping myself in the face. It sort of curb your enthusiasm.
You love mad.
I went mad, yeah. I was like, come on, are we having this? How are you?
Someone's like that looking over. What are you fucking doing? That fella there slapping himself. a couple of people have mentioned the fact that there's no, where is it? There's no Will Club Cup thing. Someone, Sean Clements here, reaction to the fact that if we win the Champions League, there's no Club World Cup to win because it's not on again until 2021. Well, my reaction, Sean, is I did not know that, and that's a little bit of a shame. I quite like a mad tournament. The boys going out all out to Japan.
It's a mad one though, innit? What was the last one? 2005, 2006?
Yeah, Japan.
Did anyone get nicked? Because they seem to get nicked a lot on these ones.
There's a few stories, isn't there? I've got a funny story about that trip. My mate Budgie went and lost his passport, and it was just before Christmas, and he had to pay a fortune because he missed his flight. So it cost him loads to get him home. So a few of the lads said, oh, we'll have a whip round for him. And so they did a bit of a thing. And then, but they've been out with Carragher, Andy. You know, there's the famous pictures of them all on the aisle, and Carragher and her man's there, and he's soaked and all that. And there's the thing with the taxis. And, basically, Carragher got wind of it. So Carragher gave him the dough and said, don't tell anyone. And then so Budgie came straight home and rang Radio Merseyside. Well, I want you all to know what Jamie Carragher's done here. But anyway, we're not getting one this time, though.
No, well, to be honest, if it was something that we'd won before, I would be completely unasked at all. But it's the kind of thing, isn't it? It's like, it's nice to win everything at least once. But I mean, the timing of it does cause more problems than it rewards, I think.
Is it a bit mad that they've cancelled it, given like all the Ferrari over like United basically shitting all over the FA Cup years ago to participate in it? Because that kind of precipitated, easy for you to say, the demise of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of, you can kind of trace from there where the import, it's nowhere near as important what it was, because United just decided to do it because it's Club World Cup and that was not even a thing.
Is it, weren't they mooting the idea of having sort of like almost like every 4 years, almost like a Club World Cup, as in an actual World Cup in the summer? I think that's what that's maybe why they sort of skipped it for 2019. Right. I think maybe they're looking at sort of, I know they were talking about, you know, teams like Liverpool, Bayern, Barca, whoever, Ajax, you know, getting in there. It would probably help Liverpool's season, to be honest, if they don't have to go over to Dubai. And that's the other thing as well. Like, one of my biggest regrets is not going to Japan. I was in my last year in school, just couldn't afford it, especially after the season previous. So it'd be great if it was over there, but they normally have it in sort of Dubai, and, you know, where's the fun in bevying in a hotel? Well, actually, I'll take that back. You can have a lot of fun bevying in a hotel, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, Dubai hotel may not be quite as much fun.
Yeah, it's definitely not an Ibis in Houston.
Dubai's a bit of a mad one. I've only ever passed through, but the funny Ireland, Dubai versus Siggy, because I went on my honeymoon to the Maldives. We stopped in Dubai, and bounced off the plane, went to duty free, and I smoked at the time. And it worked out something like 11 pence for a packet of ciggies. I was absolutely over the moon until I ordered the bevy. Fucking hell.
Smoking 80 a day on the water. Yeah.
£18 for a can of Heineken, almost as dear as motel.
Hey. And on that note, we'll leave it. Thanks a lot for the guys for coming in the day after. And getting for your questions. Obviously, for submitting your questions as well. That's been AFQ Football for this week.